Cycle. Totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here with you again. I am here. Surprise, surprise.
Totally real, completely legitimate, not an impersonator, Senator Ron Johnson.
Handsome.
Handsome.
Okay, very handsome.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We are enjoying the sun, albeit it's very cold at 19 degrees. But we were just happy that it is not the snow globe that it was yesterday.
No doubt about that.
So, and also, who knows how long this will last, because it's supposed to be like 40 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah.
But thank you for tuning in during your lunch hour on this Friday, February 17th. And we are going to keep on rolling. If you are interested in sports betting, or even if you're not, it's an interesting thing to think about as far as why certain states are starting to become more lenient about it, why states like Wisconsin is not, and yet the limited power that the state has when it comes to different tribal lands deciding that they want to open a sports book, Pottawatomi being the most recent one to do that. Currently, the only one is in Oneida, on the Oneida casino up in Green Bay. But Pottawatomi closed their theater to basically open this big sports book.
The Northern Lights.
And some people, you know, I think there was kind of a question of like, couldn't you have had both? I don't know the layout of Pottawatomi well enough to know had there been room. It looks like a massive building.
I agree. What I don't understand is, don't you just go in and put your money down and you leave when you sports bet? Or is it do they watch the whatever they're betting on there, is that part of the deal?
Because the way, at least the only things I've seen, for a long time, my dad and my brother had an annual trip to Vegas for March Madness. If you were a single lady, I highly recommend going to Vegas that first weekend of March Madness, because there was a lot of dudes.
I'm sure.
There was a lot of dudes there that weekend. And one year for my dad's 60th, we all went out together. And so that was the only time I saw kind of the madness that weekend looks like in Vegas and the sports books there, where it's just tons of TVs on one big wall that all have different games playing.
Right.
And March Madness is, I think, you know, that is certainly on Super Bowl Sunday, or not Super Bowl Sundays, on a lot of Sundays, there's multiple
screens going on.
But I think that's kind of the point. Like you can sit and watch there and they have lots of different games
that
you can check in on. But I could also just be making this up.
No, I think you're right.
I like my money.
Me too.
I don't bet. I don't bet on sports. I don't bet on blackjack. I don't bet in poker. I only bet when I know 100% that I am right.
Have you won much money?
They never pay me. Because this is usually with like the likes of my brother or my husband. And I'm like, I bet you. I promise you. And so we'll bet something. Ben did once. My brother did once. And this was a story about whether or not bitters had alcohol in it.
Jeez, there is a little.
There's not a little. There's a lot. It's 45%.
Oh, my goodness.
But you just don't put a lot
in a
drink. And my brother was, and I had only recently learned this. And then my brother was betting us that there was no alcohol in bitters. And then we looked it up and he bet each of us $100 and he did pay.
He did pay.
He did pay.
All right.
He did pay up. But
well,
he was pretty
good.
He was pretty angry that he was wrong.
Well, that's what happens when you bet wrong.
That's true. So anyways, that is a tangent to talk about our guests who are going to be here at 12:30. Professors of law at Marquette University, Scott Eidelman and Matt Mitten, will be here at 12:30 to talk more about sports betting in general in Wisconsin and what it looks like and what it would have to look like if it were to be more lenient. But for now, you know, it's interesting to me whenever, This kind of piggybacks on yesterday's ticked off tee off. When we talk about the U.S. being the freest country in the world, and then you see other countries pass laws like this, and you're like, huh, interesting. And in this case, we are talking about the Spanish parliament, which I would have to say, I don't know much about the Spanish government compared to, I feel like every once in a while, the British parliament with their yelling and their wigs and stuff, you hear about them. I feel like we hear politics come out of France and Macron and
definitely
Germany and stuff.
Canada.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I don't necessarily hear a lot about Spanish politics, but heard about this one. So, yesterday, the Spanish parliament said C to paid leave, not for maternity, for menstrual cramps.
Really?
Remember how we joked a couple of weeks ago about the red tent and how it would be nice just to have a week off every time you had your period? So, the new law gives women up to 5 days of medical leave if they're experiencing a painful period, or as the law describes it, quote, in case of incapacitating menstruation.
And to be quite frank, that does happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not joking about this. And in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about a period simulator and how weak men are when they try to put it on and how women are just used to working through the pain.
Yep.
But health experts say that about a third of Spanish women fall under the category of really needing to be able to be off of work during their period. And so Spain is now Europe's first country to approve paid menstrual leave and joins countries like Zambia, Japan, and South Korea.
Zambia has this?
Zambia, Japan, and South Korea. Which is interesting to me because everything I've heard a lot about Japan, like what I've heard about Japan and South Korea's relationship to gender, if that is the way to put it, is they're both have a fair amount of like misogyny in their culture as well. So it's a little surprising to hear that they already have this passed. But yeah, they have those three countries and now Spain have these policies. And so the new law also aims to tackle period poverty by offering free pads and tampons at schools and prisons.
Wow.
But so that's just the first thing.
Go Spain.
But this is the next thing. This also ties into stuff that's going on in the U.S. The Spanish lawmakers also passed laws on trans rights and abortion access, which, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Spain still a pretty predominantly Catholic country?
I believe so, yes.
But Spain made it easier for people 16 and older to register, to change their registered gender.
Wow.
And so this means trans people no longer need medical supervision or a doctor to sign off. Lawmakers also voted to allow 16 and 17-year-olds to get abortion without parental consent.
Wow.
Spain's equality minister said the new laws are, quote, saving many lives. And probably not shockingly, the country's right-wing party is reportedly opposed the new measures. They argued in part that the changes in transgender rights could allow men to compete in women's sports. So I'm not saying that this is like a blanket. And granted, there's also, I think, you can drink when you're 16 in Spain. Like there's other
cultural things.
But this seems progressive.
It does.
To say the least, especially while in the U.S., we are still the only wealthy country that doesn't guarantee paid family leave.
And going back to the rail derailment in Ohio, they have no sick days.
I know.
None. I don't even.
So they have to schedule when they get sick. They have to schedule it in advance and take when their PTO, like paid like vacation.
Oh, because you know when you're going to get sick, exactly. So you can get it in the calendar. That's useful.
But also in the U.S., more than 16 million people with periods are living in poverty. We still have a pink tax in many states where feminine hygiene products have a higher tax than other products. Virginia recently blocked a bill that would have banned officers from accessing period tracking apps, raising concerns about bodily autonomy. In Kentucky, the state Supreme Court decided to keep the state's trigger law and six-week abortion ban in place. And on top of that, there's reportedly also been more than 150 anti-trans bills proposed in 25 states this year. So please don't tell me we are the freest country for everyone.
Or the most progressive.
Or, yes. Do people make that argument that we're most progressive? Because I feel like there's a lot of people who say we're the freest country. And it's like, all right, well, what do you mean by free?
Well, there's that's what it is. Yeah. I guess freedom is progressive.
Freedom is however you want to define it, apparently. All right. Well, on the topic of sometimes people have very painful periods and sometimes the men in our lives don't understand what that means. There is a period simulator, which you can place little patches on your abdomen, and it simulates at different levels, a 1 through a 10, cramps. And when we come back, we have some audio of different genders choosing to partake in the simulator. And it may or may not surprise you how it goes.
I don't think the women will be surprised.
We do have Brian here. It's too bad we don't have, because a while ago, someone from the audience had suggested that we do a pregnancy simulator on Luke and Brian and see how they do. Luke immediately said, absolutely not. But I feel like Brian would do it. So it's maybe that's a future episode. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. You are always welcome to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And specifically, if you were to volunteer yourself to put on a period cramp simulator.
Cramp simulator.
How do you think you'd do? As far as 1 to 10.
That's the pain scale.
Pain tolerance. And I feel like I've always thought that I have a pretty high pain tolerance, which I think most women assume that they don't, but underestimate what they can do.
Yes.
I've never done one of these, but I bet I would probably feel like a 7 or an 8 and be like, this is uncomfortable, but
it's not going to kill you.
I'm fine. How do you think you'd do?
Well, it's been a while for me.
I'm just saying in general, as far as like, if you put it back on, like it's less about the comparison to your own. It's more of how high your pain tolerance
right.
is.
I'd go with you. I'd go probably a 7 or an 8. I think.
Because there is a company that has, I mean, I've seen this multiple times, but specifically the video and the audio that we're going to play for a man trying to withstand the pain versus a woman who self-describes that she thinks she's like, oh, I'm going to be down at a one.
Yep.
That she thinks she's a total wuss. But it is a company called Somedays, and it's a company that basically makes different products to alleviate period discomfort with different, it reduces inflammation and cramps and with hormones and balance and all this different stuff. But they also make funny TikToks of people choosing to go through this simulator. So let's first play the guy.
A level 5 is sort of like standard period cramps. Everything above that would be considered painful, not normal.
Okay.
I have endometriosis, I'm around a 10. Cass sits around a level 7 most months. So we're gonna walk you up one level at a time, okay. And you can stop at any time.
Okay, sweet.
Start you at a 2. Let me know, can you feel like a tingle?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's connected. So we're gonna walk you to a level 3.
Yeah, I feel that.
So it comes in waves. So you'll feel like it's like...
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it kind of like relaxes for a minute and then it starts again.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does do that.
So 5. So that would sort of be like your regular period cramp you get for like 3 days.
That sucks.
Great.
Yeah, that does suck.
Everyone's period spend about 10 years of their life on their period.
It's awful. It's terrible.
It's terrible, yeah. Unfortunate. Okay, so can I
still
go
on 5?
Yeah. Can I go to
yeah.
level 6?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, that's a level 6. Yeah,
you get like a moment of relief for
yeah,
a second.
And then it hits you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a level 7.
It's terrible. Makes you want to keel over, you know what I mean? I feel like throwing up.
Yeah, you want to be in like the fetal position.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And that was at what, 6?
I think that was a 6 or a 7.
Okay.
I think you made it to 7. So then there's on the same account, they have a video of a woman who thinks that she's going to not get very high at all.
That she has no pain threshold at all.
Yes. So let's play that.
Okay, that's 6. Okay, we'll go to 7. Yeah. Okay.
This feels like nothing.
At 7.
At
she
7.
Thought she was a 1.
We're staying at 7.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It actually kind of feels a little bit nice.
Okay, we'll go to 8.
Okay.
We'll go to 8.
Yeah.
This is where we stop.
Yeah.
Sorry, babe, we don't go viral.
Okay. This is ridiculous that you were crying.
She's making fun of her husband.
9.
Okay, now I'm starting to feel it a bit more.
At 9.
This is level 9. Yeah. Level 9.
But it's still okay.
Oh my god, you're gonna make it to 10 without even like clinching.
Okay. Go 10.
We'll go to 10. This is level 10.
Front and back.
Front and back.
Yeah, I feel it for sure, but it's not bad.
At a 10.
Out of 10. And now those videos just make me want to do it, of actually understanding both your pain threshold, but also because, you know, you only feel your own body, right?
Right.
And so
right.
It's very hard to compare what your pain level is versus a description of it, right?
Oh, definitely. It would be interesting to see what that simulator does.
Because I've also seen similar things. Sometimes it's for period cramps, but I've also seen similar things for like contractions.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think are terribly different as far as your body trying to start to get ready to get something out of you.
Got a point.
And so I had thought of these videos because of the topic we were talking about before, that Spain has joined the likes of Zambia, Japan, and South Korea in allowing up to 5 days of medical leave per month for women who have very painful menstruation. And the fact that the U.S., I think there's only 13 states right now that even have paid family leave.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Can we get that one done first?
I know. And that was a big part. I think it'll be interesting because you know, when we were talking about that with CJ yesterday, CJ from Institute for Reforming Government, and he had kind of said, this is going to be expensive. But the way I understand that program to work is it's almost like unemployment insurance, where it's just, it's an additional tax and insurance program that you pay into that companies then can use when people need to use it. And so it's not an out-of-pocket cost. But anyways, all right. Well, when we come back, we will be talking to Scott Eidelman and Matt Mitten, both professors of law at Marquette University, about sports betting. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life."
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. So, with the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino hoping to have a permanent sports book completed by the end of this year, we thought it might be helpful to talk to experts on sports law and what this means for Milwaukee and Wisconsin. So joining us this segment is Scott Eidelman, who is a professor of law, and Matt Mitten, professor of law and executive director at National Sports Law Institute, both at Marquette University Law School. Welcome to the show, guys.
We're going to have them. We're going to have you give us a call at 844-967-2789 because we've got some real severe reverb issues here. So again, gentlemen, if you want to pick up your phone, 844-967-2789, and then we will get you on the air the old-fashioned way, the old radio way of telephones.
Before we had all these technology issues, but as we get them on the phone instead, it was interesting because WSAW had an article over the weekend reminding everyone the legal, responsible ways to bet on sports in Wisconsin, and that a reminder that sports betting right now is vastly illegal across Wisconsin. But if you want to place any bets, the only legal means to do so in Wisconsin as of right now is Oneida Casino in Green Bay. But as we try to get both gentlemen on the phone, I just thought it was funny to, because I feel like people sometimes forget. It's one of those things where if you have ads for DraftKings and FanDuel, and then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, this is, you forget that technically you are not supposed to be making bets with unofficial bookies, but you also are not supposed to do that. So the executive, at the end of this article, the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of Problem Gamblers, Rose Belinsky, added that if you're betting this Sunday or whenever, this is the past Sunday, make sure you have a limit. Do not gamble money that is essential for living, such as money you need for rent or groceries. And so do we have them on the phone?
We have Matt on the phone.
All right, Matt, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry about that. So happy to have you on the phone. So I guess, as I just said, so the legal status of sports betting in Wisconsin today is really you can only legally make a bet at the casino in Green Bay, correct?
Hi, Scott. Great.
Yeah, you have to be on premises as a general rule.
And so does that, so how, and that's going to be the same case once we get to the Pottawatomie, once the sports book at Pottawatomie opens, right? That you have to be on premises?
Yes. That's right.
And so when people, so technically when people are talking about DraftKings or FanDuel, that is something that you shouldn't be able to do using an app in Wisconsin?
Well, there's actually a federal law that would, you know, prohibit that, called the Wire Act. So, yeah, people do it all the time, but it can be different. You know, it's not really enforced that frequently.
Got it. Okay. And then, so speaking of just, because there are more states that I think are making, changing this, but I don't think Wisconsin is there yet. So, Scott, what power do states have, especially in relation to tribal territories and activities of federally recognized tribes?
So it varies state by state, and it's a matter of federal law. In Wisconsin, Congress has given the state of Wisconsin criminal power, criminal jurisdiction over all the Indian Territory except for the Menominee Nation. So if there were no Indian compact gaming process, and if gambling were truly criminally prohibited in the state in the sense that there's no lottery, there's nothing of that sort, then the state could potentially criminalize what's going on reservation. But because of a Supreme Court ruling that said most states really don't prohibit it like the way they prohibit other crimes, they like their state lottery, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the federal statute, Wisconsin has, you know, criminal jurisdiction over tribes land, but this is considered an exemption from that.
Got it. And so if there was the political, so how much would this change if there actually was the political will of the Wisconsin state legislature? They could vote to make a new law saying that we could do sports betting. Likelihood of that is probably not very high, but say in some different world that they did, would that just function kind of like how Vegas does?
Well, there would be practical ramifications. So the way the compacts are negotiated with the tribes, and there are 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin and somewhere over two dozen compacts. The way they're negotiated is if you let one tribe do something that starts to cut into your revenue, you've got to let tribe number two and maybe three and four and all the others do it as well. Likewise, if you allow something outside of what's called Indian country, the reservations or the Potawatomi hotel area, and you allow the general public to do it, and that starts to cut into your revenue, then you no longer owe the state the original payments that are agreed to in the compacts. So there are some real political reasons as well as moral and other things going on that would keep the state from de-illegalizing sports betting generally.
Got it. Okay. We're talking to Scott Eidelman, who's a professor of law, and Matt Mitten, who's a professor of law and the executive director of National Sports Law Institute, both at Marquette University Law School. And so how, with this new, the intersection of sports gambling and longstanding immunity to tribes, like, is this being celebrated as far as, because I would imagine, I'd have to imagine that there is a contingency of people who would like to see more sports betting in Wisconsin as a revenue stream. And so have you, either of you, been able to track much as far as like public support or reception of more having more availability to this?
Matt, I'll hand that to you. Is my colleague still on? Oh.
I believe he is. He should be.
Oh, sorry. I was muted. Unfortunately, I haven't seen anything. It'd be a good thing, perhaps, for the Marquette Law School poll to do, kind of see what the appetite for sports betting is in Wisconsin. But I think in general, nationwide, more and more states are legalizing it, and you know, there's at least a certain percentage of the population that really wants to bet on sports.
And what kind of revenue are we talking about, gentlemen? I know it's tough to ballpark it, but I'm just curious.
Well, let me start with the background for the existing casinos. I think it's somewhere yielding 150 to 200 million per year for the state. And that, of course, could go up and down. You know, the pandemic, for example, I'm sure altered that to some extent. I'll hand it over to Matt for what sports betting might mean, because it's potentially a step up in terms of the type of user or number of users.
you know, it's billions of dollars that we've for a long time. Better words in the Atlantic City, there might have been one or two.
There we go. Sorry, you were breaking up for a second, but I think you're sounding better now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there might be a couple other places, but you know what is basically happening is there's always been sport betting, but it's been done largely illegally. And after Supreme Court decision a few years ago, a number of states are permitting it because they're figuring, well, hopefully some of that will, the illegal betting will be shifted. The legal side, and they'll derive some substantial revenues, but I don't know. Other than it's billions of that annually on, largely professional and to an extent conference events.
And how? Because obviously, as we're saying, unless you're on premise, sports betting is illegal in Wisconsin. How often are people charged and prosecuted for illegal sports betting, though? Because it feels like something that would. The effort to track it down, unless it's a huge ring, like a big operation of some sort, but the individual, like calling your bookie, like how often does that actually happen on like an individual case by case matter?
Well, that's generally, fairly rare because there are millions of people who bet legally, limited law enforcement, and they generally will tend to target their efforts on if there's, any fixing of the game, point shaving, things that adversely affect the integrity of the game itself, as opposed to, prosecuting individuals who are, betting illegally.
And so, as far as like the hierarchy of, I guess, I don't know, the problem or the priority, like, is this controversial as we go into Pottawatomie opening a sports betting? Is there people who are trying to stop this because of the, as I said, when we were trying to get you guys on the switch over from StreamYard to the phone, there's obviously always the concern of gambling addictions. And the article that I read had ended with a reminder, please do not gamble money that you need for rent or food. And so is there ever, how much of a contingency is there trying to stop this or stop more tribes from being able to open more sports books because of the concern of gambling addictions?
Matt, do you want me to mention, I'll mention one thing and then Matt can maybe speak more generally. Either as part of the revenue from the compacts that the state receives or on their own, the Indian tribes themselves on their own usually agree that some amount of money is put into gambling, addiction prevention, treatment, and so forth. I would imagine that there would be a parallel and proportional development as each tribe. And I'm assuming here, Pottawatomie are number two. The Oneida preceded them by about a year. With the sports betting, and now that those two have it, I suspect we're going to see one after another. But I would imagine that the amount paid by the tribe or received by the state and directed to preventing problems like that will increase in proportion to, the expected number of users, the expected problem. But we already have the gambling. It's not a change of from no gambling to gambling. It's a change of degree or amount.
Got it. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. This is super interesting to see kind of the development of this new sports bet book and what that will mean for the growing popularity. Oh, Jen, you got one more question?
I do, gentlemen. Do either of you gamble?
Matt?
Well, I'm known to enter a football or family bowl pool occasionally, and when I've gone to Las Vegas, I have occasionally bet on games. But no, I do not gamble on sports regularly.
I was just curious. Yeah. I thought maybe you guys had the inside track. Maybe you could give us some tips, but apparently,
yeah. No. I'm I'm not really a fan of it, actually.
Well, thank you for playing along with, because there's. All right. Well, Scott,
Do you want a curious fact? Can I give you a curious fact?
Sure.
That if you try to return your property tax payment refund to the state, the one that comes from gambling, from the state lottery, you and the Amish will be the only ones who are doing it. Most people, despite what they might say about gambling, nevertheless, receive their property tax credit and spend it. So.
All right. Well, Scott Eidelman is a professor of law, and Matt Mitten is a professor of law and the executive director of National Sports Law Institute, both at Marquette University Law School. Thank you for joining us, gentlemen. When we return, some more news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know when to hold up.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. You are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789, or you can always leave a comment on whatever live stream you're watching, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. But also, if you have a suggestion, we haven't pitched that for a while, but if you have a suggestion for a topic or a guest that we should have on, you can either text that to us now, or you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, because we love hearing from you and love getting ideas for things that we may have not read in the newspaper yet. And so this was one I was not, just the headline alone. I'm going to try to say it with a serious face.
Right.
Cow farts are ruining the environment, but fecal transplants from baby kangaroos could clean it up.
Well, now that's quite a sentence.
So this is a great website, studyfinds.org. There's really a study for everything.
There is, truly.
So I don't think it's breaking news that the methane gas that comes from cow burps and farts may sound like a setup for a joke. But in reality, it's actually a very serious environmental problem to climate change, because the methane is the second largest greenhouse gas contributor. And a lot of that comes from massive ranches and cow farms and,
sure,
and everything. And so now scientists from Washington State University are proposing an equally smelly solution to this environmental issue.
All right.
Baby kangaroo poop.
Oh, so many questions.
That is the next question that is posed in the article. How is adding kangaroo feces into this equation going to help? Well, the team at WSU explained that a microbial culture developed. This is going to say a lot of science words that I might butcher, so
no one will know.
Stay with me. Just say it confidently. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
From kangaroo droppings, successfully inhibits methane production within a simulation of a cow's stomach. So, after adding both the baby kangaroo culture and a known methane inhibitor to this model, the stomach produced acetic acid instead of methane.
Oh.
So while methane comes out of the cattle through flatulence, acetic acid actually benefits cows by promoting muscle growth. I don't understand this at all, but I just loved that title so much. I was like, how is what? And how many different baby animal fecal matter did they have to go through to be like kangaroos?
Well, and
kangaroos are the key.
And why does it have to be a baby animal? What is specific to that? When does a kangaroo age out of the ability to donate to this cause?
I don't know, but they have a picture of a baby kangaroo.
I'm sure he's
so
adorable.
Cute.
They're Joeys. They're adorable.
And so I guess while investigating how to outcompete the methane-producing bacteria In their reactor, Professor Ehring discovered that kangaroos have acetic acid producing instead of methane producing bacteria in their foreguts. So her students tracked down a few kangaroos and collected fecal samples. This led to the revelation that this specialized acetic acid producing process only occurs in baby kangaroos.
Wow.
And researchers couldn't pick out a specific bacteria that might be producing the acetic acid, so they used a stable mixed culture developed using the feces of a baby kangaroo.
So again, they can age out of their usefulness, at least as far as this program is concerned.
Yes, so that we need kangaroos to keep producing.
We need more baby kangaroos.
To save the earth.
Well, and don't tell Don Lemon that they're past their prime. Once you can't donate fecal matter anymore, it's all over for you,
kid. That kangaroo is over the hill. What use do we have for it anymore?
No purpose to your existence anymore.
I just thought that was some interesting and interesting scientific. I still don't really understand how it works. Do they put – so are they having – I think if I understand this correctly, the culture that they've – like they're getting out of the baby fecal matter – baby kangaroo fecal matter, they then – like have the cow ingest, is in their digestive system.
Yes, that's what I'm getting too. So it must be put into some pill form or something, or some powder or something. But you said that this is out of Washington State.
Washington State University.
Not Australia.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Australia is doing something. This one's out of Washington State.
That's fascinating.
So I thought that was a funny headline. But this study finds is awesome. If you just go on the homepage right now, small amounts of CBD can help cigarette smokers quit, one study says.
Really?
Yeah. Grandparents constantly spoil children with sweet treats, and it's ruining their health.
That's a study?
I guess so. Nearly 9 in 10 adults think they're financially responsible, yet 35% still rely on parents to pay bills.
Oh, man.
Let's see. What else is interesting here? Love in 2023, ghosting, new normal for ending relationships, which is interesting because in our etiquette segment
coming up
in the next hour, as we pick out a couple more of the Emily Post via the New York Magazine, what you should or should not do when it comes to dating and texting and tipping and all of those things.
All etiquette things.
We have a handful more to go through and debate whether or not we agree today. And two of them have to do with ghosting. Was that a thing while you were dating?
No.
People just actually had the guts to tell you, I don't want to see you anymore?
Pretty much. I feel like things were more straightforward.
Was it that, or is it also the, because I feel like ghosting now, because we have these computers in our hands all the time, you're just in constant communication more.
Well, and that's very true.
And so if ghosting feels, because you go from when you're, you know, because like when you first were dating someone, I imagine, before a cell phone, you had to wait until you could actually see them. Or you talked on the phone.
Yes.
You both had to be home to do that.
Yes, you did.
Versus now, and I'm guilty of this, of the all day, every day texting you whenever and like getting offended if you don't text me soon enough back, even though you're working. Like the ghosting feels more prevalent versus before. It was still probably ghosting, like you just stopped calling, but it wasn't as like much of a.
It wasn't as in your face.
Again, it didn't like
because of all
change
the social
your
media.
Schedule as much.
No, we were a little more patient, you guys.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I'm not a very patient person. All right, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Poker face.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.